It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And it's not even close from what I understand. It's not close to number two. So you're clearly overcommitting to help or not switching the way that's conducive to success, and yet they're still winning. And that's, I think that's the thing that gets in your head is like, hold on, you're doing all these things that metrically say you should be 500 or maybe just a game above, and you're fighting for the two seed? That means you got something. Stop believing you don't and believe that you do. And again, I'm not Johnny motivational speaker. I'm not a coach. I just am going, I don't know what to say. Because I genuinely like all these guys. They're all, you know, great to us, and we're here on a regular basis. And you only want the best for everybody involved. Like, we want the team to go 82-0.
Yeah.
It's never going to
happen. Everybody's rooting for the same thing.
Yeah. And we don't want to critique, but, like, you also have a – we have a job to do. And we say, like, hey, like that – that's not good. You can't lie. People are too smart. And you can't, you know, fans have just have more knowledge and all the breakdowns and all the sites like you're talking about. They're just not playing great basketball right now. And that doesn't mean they can't turn it around. That's the difference is when, you know, people are diehard into it, they might just go, oh, it's over. It's done. And so you might as well just pack up. No, there's still 12 games left. There is nothing to say that tomorrow night this team can't, for whatever reason, find it, whatever it is, go out and, you know, play their game, win a game in L.A., go to Utah, win a game there, go into Oklahoma City with some confidence, and challenge the best team in the West. They've challenged them. They just haven't made the same amount of plays as the Thunder have. The Thunder have, to me, it's never felt like it's just out of hand, except the first one where they were a little bit banged up.
Yeah.
The other two games against the Thunder, they were in the game, but every time they made a mistake, the Thunder punished them for it. And that's the mark of a great team. Great. Not good. Great. And that doesn't – so, okay, cut down on the mistakes, and then what happens? They're not unbeatable. They've been beaten. You've got a tough homestand after that. Like, man, this is – you and I talked about this when the schedule came out. I said, boy, I hope by the time you get to that last week of the season, you got some things locked up because it is not going to be easy. You know, last 2 weeks are going to be really tough. And right now, unfortunately for the Grizzlies, they're kind of in the rut of they're maybe playing some of, you know, their least aggressive basketball for whatever reason the last couple weeks. And now you're heading into a stretch where you got to be on point. Like, you got to be playing your best basketball. And I don't think they're doing that right now.
Eric, safe travels, my man. And, you know, what's on the menu in L.A.?
Oh, well, we're going to we have a little sponsored dinner tonight at a nice restaurant in L.A. So it's going to be fun to mingle with the people that take care of the team. And then, you know, we got the game Friday, and Rob and I will...
I want to know Jeffrey's card today.
No, you don't. Apparently, you had Louisville.
I had Louisville, and I have Purdue, because when the numbers started going down, I was like, all right, I jumped on Purdue, and it appears it was going down for a reason.
Yeah, no doubt. Yep. I see that. Uh-huh. So, play the game, and then Rob and I will, I'll give the spot. We like to go to a place called Barney's Beanery in West Hollywood that's got a ton of TVs, and we'll just kind of send them out.
We love WeHo.
Stop it.
Love
it's
it.
The closest to the hotel. Actually, there may be the one by Westwood will be closer, so we're not sure. There's a couple beaneries.
All right, my man. Enjoy it.
Good times. Talk to you next week, brother.
That is Eric Hasseltine of the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network. When we come back, let's check in on the NCAA tournament. Let's get into the list. Also, Coach Hurd going to join us during hour number two. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company on 92.9 FM ESPN. That's right. March is here, and that means Zen Sports has launched a new VIP Club Sweepstakes. This time, it's the Big Bucket Club Sweepstakes. One grand prize winner earns $10,000 bonus bet on the NCAA championship game or $5,000 cash. Also, if you don't win the grand prize, no sweat. They're also giving out 20 small prizes where winners will earn a $100 bonus bet on the championship game or $50 cash. You can earn entries on every bet placed in March, every dollar bet March, and you can even earn 10 times the entries on parlay wagers. Plus, if you sign up and make your first bet with code JEFFTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, you'll earn 500 bonus entries into the Big Bucket Sweepstakes. Zen Sports has also added college baseball for wagering. They're also offering multi-sport parlay profit boost right now. You'll get a 15% boost on up to 10 qualifying parlay wagers. Just go see the Zen Sports app for full terms. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 or older and located in Tennessee to wager. George, let's get into the list. Tyrese Hunter and Dante Harris. This from our friends over at the CA, Jason Munns and Jonah Dillon. Injured Memphis guard Tyrese Hunter said he will not play in Friday's March Madness game against Colorado State. Quote, I can honestly say I'm not playing tomorrow, Hunter said Thursday at Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle. So I guess there were some people that thought maybe Hunter was kind of doing an okey-doke.
I heard potential thoughts or rumors of that earlier from Jason and John. I think
was it Jeff? Jeff maybe said somebody sent him a message that he was in Chipotle and saw Tyrese. It's like Jeff was like, "Well, I saw him
unverified source.
I saw him Monday at the presser, and he was limping and he had the boot on." Hunter went down with a left foot injury in the second half of the Tigers AAC tournament final over Tulane. He did not play against UAB, and reserve Baraka Okoji started in his place. While he ruled himself out for Friday's game, Hunter said that he is improving. Quote, coming along, it's healing. Working with the team to make sure I get better. Hunter would not go into specifics of his injury. He said as following, we don't like got a full grip on it, just knowing that I have an opportunity to get back there and get better. So that's what we're working toward every day. Penny on Dante said, Dante's starting to run. Don't know if he's going to play against Colorado State, but he started running yesterday. No, 2 days ago. So
sounds like a GTD for Dante, at least.
It sounds to me like, I think we can safely say at this point, I think Tyrese's year's over.
I would agree.
I think that's...
Yeah, that's what that sounds like.
I hope that that's not correct, but that's what it certainly sounds like to me, is that his year is indeed over. It sounds like to me with Dante Harris, I wonder what type of injury... If it is indeed an ankle, I wonder if it's the old, let's shoot it up, see how it feels. See if he can go.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's probably going to be that. How much can you put on it during warm-ups, pregame? And then if it's a, yeah, we're still not there, then you're still not there.
I'm going to ask her how big of a deal this is, because I think this is kind of a big deal. I still like Memphis tomorrow.
Me too.
But that's mainly just because I don't like the Mountain West, and I think
that and Colorado State is small.
Well, I think the two best players are still on Memphis. And that's no offense to Nike.
Oh, dude's a stud.
But I still think the two best players are PJ Haggerty and Dane Danger, and I think they're still on Memphis's side. But I would be lying if I said that I was not concerned about how I thought Memphis got into its offense on Sunday.
No, I mean, totally fair, because we're talking about the potential of, and I've heard this as well, shuffling the starting lineup, moving PJ over to the one, which I mean, he can facilitate, score, he can really do it all. I don't think that would be the end of the world, but in changing his role, how does that change the offense?
Yep.
Things like that. When we're talking about the way that I'm looking at this, whether they have Tyrese Hunter or Dante Harris or whoever starting that position, PJ is one of those players in college basketball right now where if he's on for a night, you know, count him for 30 plus.
Like
he can take over.
I thought Baraka did a pretty good job defending.
Oh yeah, effort was
time. Well, you and I have talked about this. There have been times this year where the defense with Baraka has been the problem. Like whenever, you know, he'd switch off guys, get lost. I thought defensively he was good enough, but I just felt like, man, in that first half, they were just kind of kicking it around. It started to look like bad Tiger basketball in terms of the turnovers.
Yeah, they were really trying to scratch and claw for offense when that hasn't always had to be the case, especially as of late, when it seemed like really at any point, okay, PJ's going to hit a big shot here, Hunter's going to hit a big shot here, or okay, let's toss it down low to either one of Danger or Cisse, because, I mean, one of my big takeaways from especially the tournament and this last month or two of AAC play for Memphis is Musa Cisse coming off the bench can be dangerous. Wasn't there a game recently where he had like 6 offensive boards and 5 blocks off the bench?
To me, the best thing about watching Tiger basketball right now is the clearly defined roles.
Yep.
Everybody knows like what... since Musa has just embraced rim protector, you know,
glass cleaner.
Correct. Like he's been fantastic. NCAA tournament. Well, for those that were worried that Louisville would perhaps present a unfair advantage to Auburn, you have to fear not. Creighton 89, Louisville 75. And this is where I'm kicking myself. Whenever you hear so-and-so is underseeded, show your work. Because someone's got to explain to me with Louisville, what about this resume says that they were anything other than an eight seed?
Yeah.
They went 27-8. Okay.
Solid. It's not bad.
They were 4-7 against quad one and 11-1 against quads two. Now, may I break down that 4-7 for you?
Sure.
That 4-7 is they have one win. I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. I apologize. They have two wins over a tournament team, but it was the same team. They beat Clemson in the regular season at home.
And Clemson
and
in the
then
tournament.
They beat Clemson in the tournament last week. They had a couple of nice, respectable losses to Duke.
Kept it tight enough.
Then they beat SMU and Pitt on the road.
Yeah, that's
like they took they took advantage of a bad ACC, but like that's an 8 seed.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say look, actually, if we're looking at some of the other teams that have that have gotten into this field, I mean, they could be higher than an 8 seed.
Yeah,
if your borderline is one quad one win.
I just never, like, every time I watch Louisville play, I was like, they're fine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my thing is, in a similar sense, that's why, for me, this specific 8-9 was a particular, like, type of coin toss, was at certain points in the season, I felt the same way about Creighton. Watching them in the Big East, it's like, man, they do a lot of things pretty well, but I don't know what they do that pushes them, you know, into this upper echelon of team where I'm like, I thought the same thing with Louisville. It's like, okay, yeah, cool. They played a decent schedule in the ACC. They played fine at times, but they didn't do anything that really stuck out.
They will be heading home. So there was a lot of red in the arena, and Auburn was sleepwalking in game number two in the first half.
Have they turned it up?
They turned it up to end the half. They now lead 50-36 over Alabama State, but Alabama State has completely hung in there tough. Like, when you watch the game, the team that was playing harder was Alabama State.
They play physical, like, they just fight for it every single possession. It's really impressive.
Our boy Amar Knox has 14 points. He's 2 of 6 from 3, 6 of 14 from the field. Also, TJ Madlock has added 5 points. So Alabama State has hung tough. And I think there are a lot of people that thought, I mean, listen, you could have talked me into that team could get smoked, because what I watched against Alabama State and not Mount St. Mary's. We had Alabama
St. Francis.
St. Francis.
Yeah.
There were things I have not seen on a basketball floor. I had not seen somebody get his shot blocked after it hit the bottom of the rim. The final play was laugh out loud funny. Not the throw. The Hail Mary,
Hail Mary was gorgeous.
The Hail Mary was awesome. That was an awesome play. But the play that set up the Hail Mary, where the St. Francis kid just couldn't dribble, that was outstanding.
What, I know we talked about it. What was St. Francis's ranking? KenPom was like 311 or something like that.
They were like 5th in the MAAC.
Yikes.
Or no, I'm sorry, they're the Northeast Conference.
Either way.
Yeah, I mean, it was like 250 versus like 310.
That's
something along those lines. Also, though, just a quick shout out. This was a first for me, George, last night. So I took Texas on the money line, and I have never had a game where the team's winning by double digits, and I was so convinced they were never going to win the game. There was something so odd about that entire game where...
You were live tweeting this.
Yeah, even because that's exactly... That wasn't even... Sometimes I'll fire off the live tweet to like reverse jinx it.
Yeah. No,
that was
multiple
honest
live tweets.
I was like, this game, it was, and obviously with Xavier, that's a part of it because Xavier, not all that interested in the defensive end, but
no,
if they
can score.
If they get cooking on the offensive end. And so it was just like, there's something about when you know a team should be up 20 and they're not. And then a large part of the second half was they were kind of up 8 and you're like, this is too close.
An uncomfortable, you know, number, that weird middle ground where you're like, they can
never
cut this.
Never felt good about that one the entire way. Xavier, of course, does move on. The other games that have gone final so far, one of the darlings of the tournament was High Point. I think they were one of the trendiest dogs of the day. If you were just listening to the last segment, I had to record Eric before the show because they were traveling to L.A., so I had not seen this go final. At this point, High Point had pulled within 2 or 3, and I'm thinking Purdue's dead. Purdue does hang on and win 75-63. They did win and cover. Braden Smith was not good in the first half. He was pretty good in the second half. Finishes with 20. Trey Kaufman, Wren also gave them 21. Here was the thing that was frustrating about that game when you were watching it. Every single possession, Purdue should have left with 2 points. And here's what I mean. All they had to do was just dump it inside, and High Point couldn't stop it. Like, High Point didn't have a guy over like 6'4", it felt like.
Yeah, they're a small team, but that was part of it. That we talked about this. We were like, High Point, this matchup right here could be one of the more high-scoring ones. High Point can't defend, but they can put the ball in the basket.
But like, when Purdue was just like, yeah, we could do that, but let's just jack up some threes.
Yeah, let's just have fun.
Or
with it.
You know what
Style
we should
points.
Do? Let's just hang around the perimeter and then like go with 3 seconds on the shot clock and take like a 1 foot fadeaway from 17. Like, let's just do that.
Style points. It's March, baby.
Purdue did indeed hang on. Wisconsin handles Montana. That one was a, man, if you took the points with Montana, Wisconsin wins 85-66, but had you taken the points with Montana, like, you were in it until the very, very end. I did not have that one on the card, so I'm not like, this is not like a let's recap Jeffrey's bets. I was just feeling for people that
did happen
that were
to
heroically
take that.
Like, you know what, I'm going to stare all these good teams. I'm going to take the Grizz, and it didn't exactly get rewarded.
No pun intended.
Not going great for Grizz right now. Although those Grizz won their conference. Also, Houston absolutely curb stomped Southern Illinois University Edwardsville. Nailed it. Shout out Big Show. Also, the AKA the Giant, depending on if you're a WCW, if you're a WWE guy.
SIUE?
After Wichita State, he finished at SIUE when they were still a D2 school. But Houston absolutely demolishes them. They win. The stat broadcast is not showing, but they were up like 35.
I've got that final is 78-40.
Yeah, I don't even think they. At one point, I was like, I don't know if SIUE is even going to get to 40 points. But shout outs to them. They did indeed get to 40 points. And then I think what is honestly the biggest story happening right now, we talked about it on the show. What was McNeese going to look like with Will Wade already having been announced as the NC State coach? Well,
look pretty good.
So far, so good.
They held
Clemson to 13 points in the first half. They currently lead 31-13. And
that's at the half.
The early returns, the ACC stinks.
Yeah.
And this is not a reflection on Duke. Duke's still really good.
Duke is still superb.
Like, I've been made no secrets about it. I think the WCC stinks. There's still been really good Gonzaga teams.
Oh, we've seen in recent years finalist Gonzaga teams.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so I can think the league stinks and your best team can still be awesome. The thing with Duke is, like, they were also just smoking people. Like, they did what you're supposed to do as a really good team in a bad league, just hammer everyone. But this is why I just rolled my eyes the entire time when everyone was trying to force feed Louisville, they're underrated, underseeded. It's like, show me. What have they done?
Yeah, I think there have certainly been teams in the past that do fall into that underseeded category.
Well, as John Calipari famously told us, the year Wichita State was undefeated. Listen, underseeding us doesn't hurt us. We'll be fine. You hurt Wichita State. You hurt the rest of the bracket. God.
He's the best.
What a guy. God. I can't wait for
referring to Petito as him. Oh my God.
He was telling his story there.
That was tremendous. Auburn
showman
is now up 56-38 with 13-16 remaining.
Yeah, I think Bruce Pearl did some
did a little bit of yelling. They did kind of turn it on at the end of the half. They went to the break up 10, so they're only plus 8 this half.
Yeah. They're doing a little pulling away there.
Also, as mentioned with McNeese State absolutely hammering Clemson, I think this one might end up being one of the best games of the window. VCU and BYU going at it right now. That is the ultimate definition of styles makes fights. BYU wants to play as fast as possible, not really all that interested in defense. VCU wants to get the game in the mud, physical, tough team. BYU just hits a 3, so they take a 20-19 lead, but that game has been back and forth the whole game. There's 9:03 remaining in the first quarter. Also coming up in just a little bit, Georgia taking on Gonzaga. That game is in Wichita. That's the other thing that you got to remember about the early window. It's like, all right, where are my spots? Like, where are we? So we got Providence, we've got Lexington, we've got Wichita, and we've got Denver. But the thing that was interesting about the setup even though Wichita in the Central time zone, Denver in the Mountain time zone, the Denver game started before them. So the Wichita is going to be like the nightcap.
That's odd.
So,
and then tomorrow we've got what?
So tomorrow we have Milwaukee, Seattle, Raleigh.
Oh, that's right. There are teams out in Raleigh.
Where's the other one? Raleigh. So we've got.
That's tonight.
Is there a Tampa? Maybe.
I'm trying to
hang on. I've got them. Okay, I've got it now. Cleveland.
Oh,
Cleveland. So we have Cleveland.
Forgettable.
Milwaukee, Raleigh, Seattle tomorrow. So that's what we got. Let's talk some hoops with Coach Hurd. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright and Company. 92.9.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's almased.com.
From ESPN. Huge discounts await over at the Robert Irwin Jewelers store in South Haven. It's in the South Lake Center this Saturday for real. 60% off starting at 10 a.m. 6 hours, 60% off everything in the showcase. This isn't a markup to mark down. It's a true 60% off. That means 60% off diamond anniversary bands, diamond rings, diamond pendants, designer jewelry, engagement rings, bracelets, earrings, necklaces, gemstones, even name brand watches are 60% off. There's over 1,000 items to choose from, but shop early for the best selection. Again, for 6 hours only, starting at 10 a.m. on Saturday at the Robert Irwin Jewelers location in the South Lake Center in South Haven, 60% off. For complete details, visit rijewelers.com or follow them on socials at rijewelers. Coach Norton Hurd IV is my basketball expert here on the program. Follow him on socials at Dream Big Hurd, of course, the head coach, team director, Team Thad of the Nike EYBL circuit. Coach, want to start here. We know there's not going to be Tyrese Hunter, But if the Tigers also don't have Dante Harris, how you feeling without a true point guard?
Man, Jeff, good afternoon, Jeff. You've had a great show today so far.
You the man.
Yes, sir. You know what? People are saying that without both of them, I got belief in this team right now, Coach, and I think we're going in a great direction, you know, with getting the fifth seed, which we were excited about. But I will say the only thing that worries me just a little bit, and this with a full team, Colorado State is a tough team, and they has always been for years. If you look at some of the wins they done had, some of the underrated players that done came through there, it's like it's just one of them tough matchups. Although I think we will get it done, it's a pretty tough matchup with Colorado State.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about, Will Wade taking the NC State job, and they are hammering Clemson right now. Their McNeese is up 33-16. We also saw this with McCollum from Drake. Coaches now, when they're up for other jobs, they're a little more, like Will Wade and McCollum have been very transparent, and that's like a noticeable change. Do you have an opinion of why you think coaches are willing to be more transparent, saying like, hey, you know, I'm talking to these other schools? I mean, for crying out loud, Will Wade's already been announced as NC State's head coach, and he's coaching McNeese, and it's different though. It's a change. Why do you think they're being a little more transparent now?
So I didn't know Drake coach had did it also. Will Wade is the most transparent, unless I didn't miss some things, Jeffrey.
That's
that
fair.
I just like ever seen from like a head coach. I'm saying assistants, like one of my best friends, Ryan Miller, just got the Mary State job maybe a week ago. And me and you talked about John Lucas with Miami, you know. So for assistant, but like head, I don't know if, and no disrespect to McNeese State, I don't know if Will just kind of wanted it to be known, like, I want to go high major. Because he kind of been, you know, me and Will cool. I don't know how much you keep up with him, but people been, like, campaigning for him to deserving to get a high major job for, like, the last 2 years. Like, they hadn't been hiding it. It kind of been out there. Some jobs that came open last year, they felt like he was just as good as any coach, and he should have, you know, got some of these high major jobs when Michigan and these jobs open. So, yeah, he's the most transparent. But, you know, thinking back, the news came out so quick, Jeffrey. I think he might have been transparent because he had already agreed.
That's yeah, I think that that's it was not a secret. I think at the point the reports had come out, I was told he'd already interviewed twice and basically the deal was done. And you're right with Will. And honestly, I'll credit the McNeese AD. Like, he basically even says, like, we know we're not keeping him forever. Like, he was like under no illusions. And they are reportedly going to hire my boy Bill Armstrong. I don't know if you know him. He was on AK's staff when I was covering Ole Miss, so I was happy to see Bill get a gig because I like Bill. He's a good dude.
Yeah, I didn't know he was hiring me. Me and Bill got a relationship on a couple different sides. I got to give him a call, so they gave it to Bill. He's a good.
So it's been reported online. I don't know how official it is, but I think Bill was with Will at LSU. I don't know. He wasn't at McNeese with him, was he?
No, he never was at McNeese. Will has actually been coaching National Nike High School ball the last 2 years. Then this year, he's an assistant on Scott Drew's staff once his assistant went to Kentucky, AB. And, man, when one person move up, man, it's great and it's crazy. Now, this is where I would be tricky if I was Will Wade, not to backtrack it. Let's say he went, like, do a Cinderella run.
Yeah.
It's so messed up right now with having to get the portal situated and everything like that. Like, it almost hurt him if he stay out there this weekend.
Well, what if he's just taking his team with him? I'm watching him right now against Clemson, and it looks like this team could compete in the ACC.
Now, you know what? And I'm going to be real. NC State ain't always been a great job, but because of the NIL, especially picking up this year, and the ACC feeling like they is more vulnerable than I have seen in my life, Jeffrey.
Yes, I
have never
I totally
seen
agree.
ACC in basketball, not football, but in basketball. I feel like the way Will Wade shake and move and everything is legal now, I think he can remain top five in that conference and compete.
Well, the thing that's so funny is, like, we talk about, like, Will, it felt like, was a hot name for almost all the open jobs. Everybody's like, we want Will Wade. And, like, we've made peace, like, we don't care about Will Wade, yet we still keep hearing Bruce Pearl baggage, like, all this other. It's like, why do we even care anymore? It's all legal. Like, well, what baggage? Like, that's always my question, is, like, what baggage?
Yeah, you got some people, you know, Jeffrey, and you know this, right? So you got some people, you know, older people, or not even just older people. Some people believe in, you know, I mean, certain religions, certain things that they just can't. You know, everybody got like a line, like, oh, I can't. This is why I draw the line.
We used to call it, when I was covering college, we used to call it true believers. It's like people that, like, actually think, like, the NCAA rule book is, like, sacred. We call them true believers.
Yeah, because, I mean, not even just, I mean, the money part, but it could be somebody who didn't control their kid from going to class or help them get a higher ACT. And if you did it one time, it's some people who turn their nose up. I actually think Bruce Pearl, after the two guys turned their job, that he should be Kentucky coach right now. But it was like, we're not hiring Bruce Pearl. You know what I mean? And so I think it's crazy. Some people don't mess with Rick Pitino. I see in the comments, but he's an awful human being, you know. And I know he got more of a longer thing. But
St. John seems to be quite happy with the hire.
Yeah, Rick Pitino is a great coach. I'm going to be real with you. I think he's a top five college coach arguably all time, like, you know, when he has the same or less talent. So I don't know what that's about, but Will Wade seems like, you're right, people have forgiven him quicker. And I want to say this too, Coach. When that stuff happened, that scandal, it might have been 8-9 years ago, man, a lot of those coaches spent all their money on lawyers. Yeah. A lot of those coaches are – man, it's some way that they should compensate them guys and almost make it like a Rooney Rule, something that people hire them, because now y'all turned around and these guys, even some guys, did jail time for stuff
insane.
That y'all say illegal 3 years later.
Insane. It's absolutely – I think there was an HBO documentary on it, and you just realize, like, the prosecutors – like. It's kind of what happens, like, when you have people that don't understand the world of college athletics, like, trying to weigh in, and it's like, man, this is just kind of how the business gets done. Like, it was insane. I wanted to give you a chance. Our boy Tony Madlock, like, I don't know if Alabama State's going to be moving on, but they have given a heck of a fight against Auburn. Obviously, they had a great night on Tuesday. What is it about Tony? Because I don't know if I can think of someone that universally everybody was so happy for to have that moment on Tuesday, and shout outs of course to Amar, to TJ, that were part of it too. But what does it say about him that, like, I just felt like the entire world wanted to congratulate him?
I'm happy for Madlock, man. Madlock have always worked his butt off. He have always represented Memphis. He have always represented Orange Mound, and he did it in a way with dignity. You know, they call him Dog. That's his nickname.
Yeah.
He played for the university. Son doing well. Amar Knox is a team that alumni. I coached a few years ago. Happy for him. Everywhere he went, though, like even when he was at UTEP, he did a great job bringing Memphis kids that was underrated. Randy Cole, Pepper, I don't know if you remember them
days.
Arnett Moldrew that went to the league. Jeremy, Jaywalk Mice, and like, He has always, you know, done a great job, and I'm so glad he getting his dessert. And honestly, the attention they getting right now, I think of another good mid-major job pop soon, I think he got to be considered, right?
I mean, if you look at what he was able to do at South Carolina State, which has basically no history of winning, he was able to get that thing turned around. Last year, I think, what, they won eight games maybe? He gets them to 20 and at a very tough place to get players. Like, the name of the game is getting players and exceeding job expectations. Like, why shouldn't he get a sniff?
Exactly. And I think it's now, too, because the thing about a SWAC school is, unlike some other opportunities, you never know if you're going to consistently
Oh yeah, that league can flip in a you blink and it's like the Mac in football. It's so tough to stay, like, for one team to be good for a long time.
Exactly. You know, the SWAC, let's just be realistic. They don't have any NIL money.
No.
None of the schools really.
No, their NIL money is taking paychecks to go take L's for the first, whatever, 2 months of the year.
Oh, yeah. Now, they all do that good. Mo do a good job at Jackson State. Matlock do a great job. Like, at the beginning of the year, and it's a great experience for the kids. They be out there playing, like, UCLA
yes.
out of L.A.
They have their West Coast trip.
Yeah, UNLV, they'll go somewhere else, play Florida. So, yeah, that's how they get their money. But it makes them tougher for their season. So, I don't know what was open now. Like I say, McNeese State, I think that would have been good for Matlock, but that's already took him by a good candidate. I think Murray State would have been well-deserving too, but that's already took for Ryan Miller. So, I just want to see what pops open next. But I think he deserved it, and I think they had a special – have you just even seen Amar Knox with his girlfriend
yeah.
look like Amar
it was awesome.
Knox even just with his wife, I mean, look like he just even got some NIL deals since then. I didn't see him do 2-3 like ads and commercials.
Good
since
for him.
Then, you know what I mean? So I think it's something more special left for Alabama State. And they was competing with Auburn earlier.
No,
in the
they're
game,
still hanging tough. They will not go away.
Oh, okay. See, I stepped out because I know it needs to be quiet.
I mean,
for
it's
the
like
radio,
up to 20, but I mean, you know, I mean, like, they're not going to win the game, but, like, they have hung way tougher than anyone thought they were going to.
I think they playing Broome better than anybody ever, right?
Yeah.
Unless he didn't win off since I've been on the radio, but Broome's
on a double double.
He's on a double double now, but I agree with, like, that's the thing. It's like, he's going to get his, but, like, I agree with you. He looked out of sorts in the first half.
For sure. Yeah, they did a good job with their zone behind them thing and things of that nature, though. But, no, that's pretty good. But, Jeff, who you got winning this?
I took Auburn because I think everybody was down on Auburn. Now, from what I've watched today, I don't know if I love it. I took Auburn because I think when they won the SEC and wrapped it up, I think they kind of took a couple of weeks off. But I also think, like, they're the oldest team. They're the most experienced team. I feel like Florida has gotten super trendy, and
yeah,
it's like Florida and Duke are the, and then with Duke, like, I mean, we're Cooper Flag away, like, tweak away from, you know, they're still very good, but, like, we're talking about, my thing with Auburn is, like, Auburn's still really deep and really experienced, and I think we just kind of forgot that, yeah, they lost some games down the stretch, but they won a heck of a lot of them.
How deep you got Memphis going?
I have them to the Sweet 16.
That would be great.
I'm hoping my big upset, but I'm not feeling great about it, but I think Grand Canyon's going to have a little something for Maryland. You seen the dudes on Grand Canyon?
Yeah, they pretty good. They still got
Scott. They have Bryce.
Bryce.
They have Ole Miss's favorite Drew, Bryce Drew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's good stuff. This tournament, March Madness, is always great, Jeff.
All right, my man. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Jeff.
That is Coach Hurd. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, George. For today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. Well, we had Cal referring to Patino as him. Rick got to fire back today on the possibility that Rick Pitino could meet John Calipari this weekend. He was asked about his rival. He said there's only been one person in his career he's considered his actual rival, Jim Calhoun. He was at Northeastern and I was at BU, and we hated each other. There were 300 people in the stands, but we hated each other. I love it. John who?
He just sunned him, is what I heard.
That's
amazing.
This is what I'm worried about. I think we can all agree Arkansas St. John's is way more fun than St. John's Kansas, but it feels like we're just never going to get what we want.
Never. How dare you expect
like
us to get what we want?
KU is just going to win tonight. That's how I feel. All right, my man, I appreciate your help. Want to thank also Coach Hurd and Eric Haustein for joining the program. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn live from Tunica coming up next.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, It's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.